because what happens is when somebody stands up to speak or when we start to sing again, it's very, very easy to think, oh, did I think that? And it drips out of you. So try and hold it and trust that God will be very clear to you if it's not something you should offer to the rest of us. But Sue, come and share with us. We're looking forward to this.
You might notice you've got an extra piece of paper for the 66 tonight. It's Psalm 139. It's very famous. That's really spoken to me over the last little while, and I'd like to share some of the things that it's spoken to me. Okay. Lord, give us to hear, open our hearts, so that we hear something different or see something in a new way that shows us more of you. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to read the first six verses and then elucidate a little. You have searched me, O Lord, you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to obtain. I'm going to take various verses and share a little bit about each one of them. First one is that God has searched us and he knows us. One of the things I've picked up at school the last little while is I've got low level grade C in French, which ain't much of a qualification, but I'm actually head of French because I'm the only one who can do any more than bonjour. And so I've had to dust it off a bit. And in French, there are two words for to know. If anybody knows more French than me and I've got it wrong, please tell me afterwards. But the first word is je sais, which means I know, and like you know a fact, or you know of a person. So you might say you know a famous person, you know, je sais, Joe Brand, or, sort of the telly, or something like that. So you know their name, but you don't really know much about them. Whereas if you were talking about a friend who you spend time with, you know, socially, you would say je connais, which is a different word completely, and it means a bit like I understand, or it's that thing of know. And that helped me understand this a little bit more, because God knows us. And it's not je sais, though, as in, oh yes, he's a tick on the list. In our data-driven society, having something where we're known personally is actually really very rare. So I found that quite helpful to think about the je connais, as God knows us as he knows a person, rather than knowing us as knowing a fact. Even the bits where we say, I do that because that's where I've always done it, or that's how it's worked before, or it's dot, 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 doing whatever you want. But he loves us, and he made us just as we are. He doesn't know us about us like we're a supermarket. I know my way around Co-op Con, all right? I know my way around Co-op Con out of necessity, not of love. I need to get in there, get that 4 pints of milk, and out again as quickly as possible. There's no joy for me in being in Co-op Con. But I know the place. However, I know my way around our house because I've shaped it, I've planned it, I tidy it, I clean it, I spend time in it. I make it a nice place for our family to live. I've given it my time and attention. And even the slightly grotty cupboards around the back that need a bit of a jolly good sort out, and the Wendy boot box, which is just always muddy and horrible. But that's the way I was just thinking about how God knows us. He shaped us, he knows us, he loves us, he spent time with us, he spent attention on us, he created us. He's moved us. He knows the grotty bits, the cupboards that need a tidying out and all the rest of it. But he still loves us because he has walked with us. Our house, I don't want to push the analogy too far, but when you've lived in a place or in a building for a few years, it's seen some times of life. It's seen some times when you've had some lovely, happy times, some good parties you've had, some fantastic parties you've had, sometimes when you've come home and there's been bad news or you've had a grotty day at work. But it's been part of you. And that's because God has walked through us and he walks with us through all the situations. He knows us and he's been there through thick and thin. I won't labour the point anymore, but if you move on to verse 2, you know when I sit and when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. Now, I was discussing that with one of the children, and Isabella said, oh, that's like when they had done a picture in their kiddie picture books about this, and they said, she said, there's that little girl looking at the ice cream van, and her mum knows she's thinking that she wants an ice cream, but the little girl hasn't worked it out yet, she's just seen the ice cream van. It is a little bit like that. But one of the joys of a close friendship with someone is that you know what they're thinking in some particular situations. For instance, several years ago now, I was I was walking my dad in Bath, and we'd gone. I was trying to help him choose a birthday present for my mum, which is never an easy thing. Dad hates, really doesn't cope very well with those things where there's been some disaster or other and, you know, they have a 2-minute silence. He really finds that very uncomfortable and he doesn't like that at all. And there'd been some disaster or other. And there were signs up in a lot of the shops that at 10 o'clock they were going to have a 1-minute this, that and the other. I'd forgotten about this and I didn't really know, but I could perceive that there was something he wasn't very happy about. And that's how you pick it up with people, and God, 100 million times more than that, not just in one situation, but in thousands and thousands and thousands of situations, every situation, he perceives our thoughts. And it doesn't have to be, you know, it's not a once-in-a-lifetime thing or once every few years thing. It's all the time. He understands what we're thinking. He knows where we go. He knows the tracks that we go down. He knows our reactions to every situation. When you see a particular sort of story on the news bulletin, when you have times when you look at start at one end of the week and it just whizzes through and it's the other end of the week and you think, where's it gone? Those times when you shut the door in the morning, although it's the same length as another morning, time seems to hang really heavy. God is the thing that's spoken to me through this more than anything else. This is the fact that God is kind. He's a really lovely person and he likes us. He really likes us. He doesn't just love us because he's got to. You know, he actually likes us. A really useful phrase that I love is the Holy Spirit is closer than the beat of our hearts. So what I'd like to do now is just take half a minute or so, quiet. See if you can hear the beat of your heart. God is closer to you than that. Moving on, it says in verse 5, you lay your hands upon me. He's slightly worried about how that worked out. I saw a lovely illustration in school. When you've got a child who's done a bit of writing or a picture to show us and you want to come up front, when they're really little, if you're sat down in front so you're on level with them, they practically come and sit on your lap because they're so nervous at what they want to show. And you're like, stand there, dear, stand there. And I saw a lovely illustration today. One of our teachers, this child, relatively nervous child, had a poem they wanted to read out. And I just saw her put her hand on the child's shoulder. So she stood back from the child, she wasn't in the way, but she just put her hand on his shoulder and he was then perfectly happy and calm to know that he was alright and stood in the right place and he was able to share this lovely poem about whatever that he'd written. And I thought that's a lovely image of God. He lays his hand upon us, puts his hand on our shoulder, says, it's alright, I'm here, it's okay, you can do what you need to do, I'm stood here, I'm with you, it's okay. And of course once they get going, you know, very tiny, but do need to stand right up next to you. Or if they get going, particularly even right up to year 6 and right older, you know, that is enough for them to know that they're there, or for them to do what they need to do, but just to know that God has his hand up on our shoulder and he's there behind us. Something I've been trying to do, really, is, I love verse 6. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. It's so nice not to have to understand everything. Because in this world where there is so much information and there is so much data and there is so much, and you're expected to have an opinion about everything, just to be able to say, I don't know and I don't understand, but I know this is true, is a fantastic, very rare experience. I've been thinking about trying to become more aware of the kindness of God. I was talking to a lady the other week and she was saying it's very easy to take on just the things you need to work on and just the things you need to improve on, but not notice the kindness of people around you as well. I'm quite good at running around and ticking stuff off a list. I'm not very good at stopping to sniff the daisies or whatever. So I've been trying to notice the little things. had, even when some fairly major things have gone around and, you know, just stuff happening, but to thank God for his kindness. Thank you that this worked out. Thank you that that worked out. Thank you that that online shop had shoes for Izzy, new school shoes for Isabella in the right size, because she's broken the old ones that she's had since September. So we didn't have to drive to Bristol and take up a whole Saturday game. Thank you for the beautiful sunrise I saw on the way to work this morning. That God didn't have to provide the beautiful sky or the last pair of size 4 shoes in this particular design in the country. But he did, because he's kind. Yes, of course, tough stuff happens. Things do happen, and things, you know, business happens, but also not very good stuff. But he doesn't leave us floundering on our own trying to work this world out. He sent us Jesus, and I love the way that it says Jesus walked on this earth. He didn't run through this earth, galloped through this earth. Sometimes I get as much encouragement for the first 30 years of his life that Jesus spent on this planet, he was never ordinary, but being doing ordinary things. Well, be careful how you see this, but as much as he's preaching and teaching, that's really good. But sometimes there's really encouragement about thinking about the ordinariness of stuff as well. I want to finish, I know it's relatively short, but I want to finish. In 1 John it talks about God is love, and in 1 Corinthians 13 it talks about lots of things about love, and I'd like to sort of mush the two together as a little meditation to finish with. God is patient. God is kind. He is not evil. He's not self-seeking. God does not boast. God always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. God never, ever fails. Amen.
Thanks, Sue. I enjoyed that. Before we get to singing, we're going to take a little while. We're going to do this in threes and fours. I'd like us to pray for Roy and Linda. I spoke to Roy today.